Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the program. Today, I have author Barbara Stone with us, and she's here to talk about her new book, Invisible Roots: How Healing Past Life Trauma Can Liberate Your Present. We are going to be talking about past lives, reincarnation, earthbound spirits, and more. So this will undoubtedly be a very interesting show today. So a little bit about Barbara. Barbara Stone is a workshop presenter, public speaker, author, and bilingual psychotherapist in private practice. Her first book, Cancer as Initiation, Surviving the Fire, is the autobiographical account of her holistic approach to recovery from a diagnosis of breast cancer in 1991. Her newest book, Invisible Roots, which is out on Energy Psychology Press, traces root causes of disorders, including two areas underserved in psychotherapeutic literature, past life trauma and working with earthbound spirit attachment. Dr. Stone is an adjunct professor at Hawking College and a certification trainer for the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology. Also a musician, potter, gardener, and grandmother, she holds a doctorate in clinical psychology from Pacifica Graduate Institute. She has two websites, invisibleroots.com and souldetective.net. And I am just delighted to have Barbara on the program today. So welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Barbara.
It's such a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you very much. So it has been 14 years since the publication of your first book, Cancer as Initiation. And I'd be interested to find out how, in those 14 years, Invisible Roots was evolved and created.
You know, that's a very interesting story. After I recovered from breast cancer, I just turned my life over to spirit, and I said, you know, you healed me from that illness, and now I'm going to give you my life. Use me the way you want me to be used.
Mm.
Now, at the time, I didn't know that would include doing psychotherapy with people that were no longer in their bodies.
Yeah, right.
And I forgot to put in a clause there that said, please don't let my clients bring any ghosts to their therapy sessions. However, when I just gave that invitation to spirit to be used as needed, people started bringing the earthbound spirits of a parent who was deceased or a loved one that hadn't been able to cross over, or sometimes strangers that just responded to their helping nature and also the wounds that they carried. They plugged into my clients, and I didn't know how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in my doctoral program even told me what to do if a person brings an earthbound spirit to a psychotherapy session. So I had to learn. So I read and studied, and then I used the tools of the new field of energy psychology, which works with the energy body. And that has turned out to be a godsend for working with earthbound spirits, because they only have their energy bodies. They don't have their physical bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So do you find that because this was a spirit-directed career, that it has been a challenge, or do you find that you were actually really well prepared for this position?
Okay. Well, the true answer to that was that the first moment I realized there was a ghost in my psychotherapy office, and it was so cold in that moment, I put on my winter coat and I still could not get cold.
Mm.
The first time I realized that, and the way I knew it was true was because my client said, my deceased father is attached to me.
Oh.
And it was so cold in the room that I put two and two together, and I said, I bet it's true. My initial reaction was I was scared to death.
I bet. Mm-hmm.
But I did what I always do when I get scared, is I prayed for spiritual help. I prayed, you know, please help me with this. And then this calmness just came over me and a peacefulness, and I knew that the woman's father had abused her.
Mm.
And so I said, well, if Dad came to therapy today, let's work with Dad. And we did some very powerful forgiveness work in that session. And I realized, you know, if you have a relationship with a parent that's unresolved when they die, it's not too late to heal that.
So interesting. So with that person that has deceased that is in, actually in that session with you, they're having a healing as well. So it's both people?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's healing to both.
So tell us then who you really wrote Invisible Roots for, and how are they going to benefit from this book?
There are two levels that a person can read Invisible Roots on. There's one level that's for everybody, and that's just that the case histories are amazing when you hear what happens in past lives and you get a glimpse into people's direct experience in other times and places, and just seeing how earthbound spirits work and getting some clues as to what to do when we leave our physical bodies, what to expect in the next life, because our culture doesn't really prepare us well for that. So those are benefits for everybody. And the first half of the book is case histories. The second half is tailored to therapists to tell them step by step how I work with the intricacies of how do you talk to someone who's not in their body, how do you talk to a past life self, and how do you get healing for that. But you know, Juanita, what I'm discovering is that people who aren't therapists love reading that second half too, because it's packed with case histories and it helps them to understand their own energetic makeup.
Yes. Those case histories, I mean, you have so many in this book, and they are just fascinating, fascinating.
Thank you. And another thank you to all of my clients who let me use their healing experiences, who let me have permission to do that.
Absolutely. So do you think that most people that are on some kind of healing journey, which really, you know, in these times, it seems like it's almost a mandatory initiation for being human, I'm wondering, don't you think? I mean, will it come at some point in that healing journey that we have to look at past life trauma or earthbound spirits as a possibility?
I would say, if you just had to have me guess, I would guess that almost all of the healers today have some residual fear about being healers. If not from their personal past life history, just from the history of what our culture and our society has done to healers, like burning at the stake, drowning in the river, classifying anyone who went beyond the standard knowledge of the time into the other world as a witch or as a demon. And that fear of being misunderstood and therefore unjustly persecuted comes with a lot of healers today. When we clear that trauma, then we realize, oh, in this life, if I say that I'm working with a spirit, someone who's not in their body, they're not going to burn me at the stake.
Yes, right. Do you think most fear links back to some kind of past life trauma?
I believe that would be true.
Really?
Well, there can be current fear. If you're walking down the street and a big black dog jumps on you,
right,
and you're a little child, then you have a fear of big black dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But this past life trauma is fears that we can't explain in any rational way, where there's no trace to an earlier experience, no family history of a problem with this. It can be an unresolved issue that's in our soul that we weren't able to master in a past time, and we get another chance.
So did you believe in reincarnation growing up?
Absolutely not.
Not.
No, I grew up in a traditional Christian church, a wonderful church, but we were taught we get one life and that's it. At the end of that time, you either go to heaven or hell. Now, my younger sister started believing in reincarnation in high school, and she tried her best to convince me, but I was just convinced she was going to hell.
Really?
That was a heresy. Yes.
So what turned all of that around for you?
Well, I was in Jungian analysis to work with my dreams and really understand myself better. And so I was writing down my dreams. One night I had a dream in which a scribe read to me from a long list of people I had been in past lives. And I woke up and I thought, well, that scribe has to be wrong because past lives aren't true. But as I looked at the list, there was a name that I recognized. And I looked up that name. It was Simone de Beauvoir, a French author. And I thought, well, this proves it's not true because Simone de Beauvoir is still living. And how could she be my past life if she's still alive?
Wow.
Well, I still don't know about the theory of simultaneous incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems too far out for me.
Mm.
But then I realized, well, there were 7 Barbara Stones in my health insurance company, and perhaps there had been another Simone de Beauvoir somewhere in eternity.
Yes.
That I was. And yet, another way to explain this is it might just be what author Jeffrey Nishlov calls archetypal synchronistic resonance. And I do see that there is resonance between my life and the life of Simone de Beauvoir. She spoke out for women's rights at a time when that was not a popular thing to do. And she was a beautiful writer. Her writing was crystal clear and compelling. And I had always known in my life I wanted to grow up and write a book. I just didn't know what to write it about until life brought it to me.
Do you? Isn't that fascinating? Wow. So do you think someone has to believe in reincarnation or the possibility for the healing methods that you're talking about and that you're working with to actually work for them?
I do not believe that one has to accept the theory of reincarnation as true. It can be looked at as a metaphor, and it still works. The therapist does not have to believe. The client has to believe enough to actually do the therapy, but I still have a scientific part of my brain in the upper right-hand corner just watching all of this and saying, how could this be true?
Right.
How could it really be true? So I've changed my question from is it true to does it work? And I see that it absolutely works, so I keep doing it.
I love that you flip it like that. That you switch it and that's how it ends up working for you. That's great.
Well, you know, most of us don't believe things we can't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
true.
May I add one little thing from one of the cases? It's called Waiting for Onalea. There is a case where a client, we found out through muscle testing, which is how we get information, that her father had not crossed to the light. He had died 6 months before our session, and he was there waiting for her mother to die, who was in hospice care.
Oh, wow.
So I said, and the room was so cold, I couldn't get my hands warm, and I went to get a blanket. I still couldn't get my hands warm, and then I started getting sleepy, and I said, excuse me, may I go get a cup of coffee, because I didn't think it would be very polite to fall asleep during her session. However, when we found out there was an earthbound spirit there, I realized, yes, it's cold because the earthbound pulls life energy out of the environment, and it was making me tired and cold. So I got out my electromagnetic field detector. It's called a Gauss machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked all around the room, and it read 0.5 milligauss. And then when we got to the area where she said her father was, it registered 2 milligauss.
Wow.
After we convinced him that it was better if he'd wait for his wife in heaven, where he could be of more use to not only his daughter, but to his wife when she came, then we took another reading all around the room, and it was 0.5 all around the room. So that was like I could actually see on my meter reading that there was an outside reality that could be measured with a scientific instrument.
Isn't that it? And we are living in such a time right now where science and the unknown, the connection or the bridge is, I don't know, where it's connecting. There's, for some reason, we're getting into quantum physics and science and spirituality are really blending at this time.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned muscle testing. Now, from what I have heard about past life trauma, past life regression, it's usually done through hypnosis. Now, you are doing it a little differently with muscle testing. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your approach and why you feel that this is more accurate?
Well, I like it better because it's a tool I'm comfortable with. Also, a good hypnosis session takes at least 2 hours, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to get into the 60 minutes that the health insurance companies allow for a psychotherapy session.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle testing goes a lot quicker. And it's also something where the client stays fully aware. And I like that very much. I want the client to know what's going on. How it works is I have them hold out their arm or a different muscle if their arm is sore, and I apply very gentle pressure to the wrist to just see when I apply about 20 pounds of pressure, does this muscle lock into place or does it give way? And studies have found that when you're saying a statement that you believe is true, your muscle will be strong.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something that you believe is not true, your muscle goes weak. So if I want to know if there's a past life trauma impacting a current phobia, I will muscle test the statement, a past life trauma is contributing to this current phobia. If it goes weak, I know that's not true. But if it goes strong, then I know, oh, okay, there's another dimension, a deeper dimension to this issue. And until we clear that phobia, that fear that's left over from a past life, the client is not going to get better in the current life.
And you find that muscle testing is quite accurate.
Nothing is 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But in energy psychology, we found a clue to make it much more accurate, and that's to get the energy field centered and balanced before we start testing.
Okay.
And there are simple exercises we do to get that field balanced, and those are explained in the book.
Oh, wonderful. So what type of symptoms or how are symptoms different in a situation of earthbound spirits or past life trauma? Do the symptoms look different in your client?
It's a little different, yes. When it's one's own past life trauma, it's part of your own soul. So there's a resonance there and a safety there that it always feels good to go in and clear up trauma from one's past history of the soul. With an earthbound spirit, often it's a stranger. It's someone the person never met who just had a similar emotional wound. So there I really call on spiritual help right away because mm-hmm. they're spirits and sometimes neither of us knows them. So we need somebody from the spiritual realm who can see what's going on to help us with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a different approach. Most therapies just kick out the earthbound spirit as a hitchhiker and they say, go away, you're bothering my client.
Right.
Well, the earthbound will go away, but there's a story in the book, a case called Goodbye Grandma, where the woman kicked out Grandma and she went to live at her sister's house. Well, she wasn't living, but she went in spirit form.
Yes, yes.
To her sister's house.
That's funny.
So I do therapy both for the earthbound spirit, which I treat first and help them cross to the light. And then we look at how was it that this spirit picked my client? Because there's always a similar feeling. The earthbounds often don't know their dad, and they feel so lost and alone. Nobody will talk to them. Nobody
mm-hmm.
will listen
mm-hmm.
to them. And that loneliness, that extreme loneliness, is something that resonates with the client. When it's cleared and healed, the clients feel so much better.
Wow. So that's they're actually feeling the loneliness of the earthbound spirit that
yes.
they thought was their own.
You got it. Well, they have some.
Okay.
But the earthbound spirit plugging in makes it much more intense.
Now, what makes a earthbound spirit attached to a particular person? You know, is there some sort of resonance, like a magnet almost, that attaches I don't know. Why do they pick who they do?
No, I'm glad you used that word magnet, because it seems like the heart is a magnet for whatever feelings we focus on in our heart. We draw more of that feeling to us. If you have financial insecurity there or fear of poverty, it's like you just keep drawing into yourself situations that you're going to lose money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whatever feelings you have there act as a magnet to pull more of that into your life. And when you have feelings like rage or anger or fear or trauma parked in your heart, then it pulls in others who have that same vibration. It's like a radio frequency, and the earthbound spirit says, oh, you're playing a station I recognize. Here I am.
Right.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience, as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books, as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Barbara Stone. She is the author of Invisible Roots, How Healing Past Life Trauma Can Liberate Your Present. You can find out more about Barbara through her websites, InvisibleRoots.com. and souldetective.net. So negative emotions are key, really, to earthbound spirit attachment then.
Yes, it's a little bit like when a person leaves the physical part of them, if they have negative emotions going, like rage or anger, and we can understand how that would be in situations of war, where you see loved ones get killed and then you're attacked and killed, who wouldn't be angry and enraged?
Mm-hmm.
Those feelings are baggage and they weigh you down. Now, when I took a flight down to Brazil to go see a healer named John of God, and they have new baggage requirements now. It used to be you can check two bags. Now you can only check one bag.
Yes.
But when you check out for heaven, you can't take any bag.
Yeah.
No baggies. All of that stuff is heavy. And when you let it go, then you're light and you can go to the capital L-I-G-H-E, to the light.
Yes, that's interesting. Not only no baggage, but I think you have to be quite emptied out as well.
Yes, yes.
I'm fascinated that you were down to see John of God. How was your experience?
It was amazing.
Yes.
We saw John of God, who is a medium who incorporates a spirit. His awareness left his body, and he incorporated the spirit of a doctor who's no longer in physical form, and he did surgery on people. We could see it. I saw it on video, but seeing it in real life was just amazing.
Mm.
The spirits are real there, and the Brazilian doctors have been studying spirit healings for a long time. They know that's a very powerful way to heal.
It's interesting how other cultures are more open to this kind of work. And we basically, in our Western culture, have been completely shut down to this part of ourselves.
That is true, but we've been focusing on other things, on science and development, and we have amazing things that we've developed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Brazil, the technology and the other things are not as developed because they've been developing the spiritual side. Now, when we get together with them and we share our knowledge, look what benefit the world has.
Yes, isn't that? That is so true. And maybe this is the bridging that I've been hearing more and more about with the North American and the South American cultures. There is something happening here.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it opens the heart. And it wasn't only the physical surgeries that John of God did, but the spiritual and emotional and mental level healing that I got from my own life was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It just opened up my heart to really receive the love that the divine has for me and let that flow through me.
That's so powerful. Did you find that you had a past life connection down in Brazil?
Oh, I never looked at that,
oh.
But I do know I was, a mentor once told me I had a life as a healer in South America a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like it's in my soul blood.
Yes, I imagine it is. So where did you come up with this term of soul detective, and tell us what that means?
Oh, well, you know, it's a term that my partner, Bert Fellows, suggested for my work. I was saying, what am I going to call this? And Bert said, well, you're like a detective to see what's going on at the soul level with your clients. And then I realized, yes, that's a fun way to put it, that we detect through muscle testing exactly where is the origin of this problem we see.
Mm. And you use a lot of different modalities and just areas of energy psychology, spirituality, actual like acupuncture, that sort of thing. You use a lot of different modalities into your work.
Yes, I don't actually do acupuncture.
No.
I'm not trained in that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trained in a dozen other therapies. And it's like a woodworker having a lot of different tools.
Yes.
If you only have a hammer and a screwdriver, you can make a hole, but it's hard work.
Yeah.
If you have a drill, it's much easier and much cleaner. So I find that the new therapies are like new tools that I can add, and they're just right in specific situations.
What are you finding that are some of the more cutting edge, the newer technologies that you're finding are really shifting people?
The tool that I like the very best is called making a customized meridian treatment sequence. It's using muscle testing to find which of the 12 meridians is out of balance, and then tapping on an energy point on that meridian to reset that one, and then checking what is the next meridian that needs to be rebalanced.
Mm.
And that works very well with earthbound spirits, using ourselves as a surrogate for the person, because it goes in emotionally and it restores the tears in the energy field that were disrupted by the negative emotions. And then we put in the positive emotions, and people feel better.
Oh, it sounds a little like emotional freedom technique.
It is very similar. Emotional freedom technique actually just taps all of the meridians.
Okay. You're more specific.
Yes. And the reason I like this is because then I can find out, was the problem of this earthbound spirit rage, or was it sadness, or was it trauma, or was it guilt? And it gives me a clear emotional picture of what was happening, and then I can make a tailor-made algorithm or treatment sequence to fit that problem. So it's fun for the therapist,
mm-hmm.
and it gives a lot more information about what's happening.
So is there anything that people can do at home if they feel like they have an earthbound spirit attachment, or they know they're dealing with some sort of past life trauma that's affecting them now? Is there any way for them to deal with this at home on their own, or do you really suggest that they go to someone like you or someone that's been trained in these kind of modalities to help them move through that?
Well, I would recommend if someone feels that they do have an earthbound spirit or somehow has been able to sense that, that their first action would be to go to their spiritual help system, to pray to God by whatever name you believe in God, and tell God, I need some help here. and then talk to the spirit and say, you know, I'm not sure what your problem is, but there's a better place for you. And God, please help this one go to the light and show and heal my heart so it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Try that first. If that does not alleviate the problem, then go for help. Go to someone else.
Now, you brought up an interesting point with the spiritual support, and I imagine that there are potential dangers in this kind of work. So how really do you protect yourself on a spiritual level when you're working?
I call a pyramid of light around me. It's the work of my colleagues, Dr. Martin Luttke and Linda Stein Luttke. They have a book out called Psychoenergetic Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I park archangels on the four corners of that pyramid and an archangel at the apex. And I ask for the guardians and guardian angels of everyone involved to be present for me, for my client, and the earthbound spirit. And I ask that only what's for the highest good would come to pass.
Mm.
Then there's a step in my protocol where I muscle test. We have spiritual permission to work with the spirit. And if I get a no, then I don't work with the spirit. If I get a yes, and it's almost always a yes, the only time I've gotten a no so far is there was a father and a grandfather attached, and I asked to work with the grandfather. He refused.
Oh, really?
So we worked with the father, and after the father was ready to cross, then the grandfather who had been watching, then he was ready to work too.
Oh, yeah.
He had to see it first to believe it.
Yes, that's funny.
And one would think it would be quite scary, but it's not at all like Halloween.
Mm.
It is such a beautiful experience to have the presence of the angels there in the therapy room.
Oh,
there's a peace and a comfort, and the light in the office seems to have a golden glow when they're there, especially at the moment when they take the spirit from this world into the next. There's this flood of pure joy that comes in the room, and it almost always makes me cry when they see their loved ones again. It's just the most beautiful, wonderful experience.
I have heard that it is very palpable when an earthbound spirit has crossed on. You can really feel it in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And the room warms up.
Yes, and your fingers aren't numb anymore.
Yes, my hands get warm and I'm not tired anymore.
Oh, that's great. Now, I would like you to also just mention a little bit towards the idea of ancestral wounding and family constellation issues. This is really interesting, and I wonder if you see in your practice that most people have some kind of issue regarding family lineage that you have to deal with.
Yes, many of the people who come to me do have that. Now, that maybe the general public doesn't, but the people who need help.
Mm-hmm.
Come. The idea of the ancestral wound is sometimes there's an ancestor, someone in the lineage of your DNA that suffered a wound that's unresolved, and the family as a whole has a soul. When any member of your family is in distress, like there's an example in the book of a family member who committed suicide after she was raped and got pregnant from the rape.
Mm.
She couldn't face the shame of what had happened, and so she killed herself.
Mm.
Well, that trauma was still resonating in the soul of the whole family. And my client was the most sensitive person in that family, so he held those feelings for the family.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to the woman who had committed suicide, we talked to her, and she thought she should go to hell for what she did, and she had been earthbound for a couple decades, and we said, wasn't that enough suffering?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, it's been hell, and yes, I guess that would count as time in purgatory or my suffering, and had her forgive herself, and then asked her, would she like to go see her baby, and went to the angels who were holding her baby. Just such a beautiful moment when she got to hold her child and forgive herself. And that helped my client. Then he no longer had to hold that extreme agitation.
Mm. Do you find that then there is a ripple effect with the whole existing family when something like that happens?
Bingo, you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
It's true. It heals the whole family.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden that hole or that wound is closed up and healed. And it helps the downline generation too.
That is powerful work.
It is.
I'm getting goosebumps.
It's quantum healing.
It is quantum healing. Oh, so why do you think, Barbara, we are seeing so much these days about healing past life trauma, earthbound spirits? I mean, there's TV shows. I don't know how many new TV shows are out that are bringing this into the public eye. I think even Oprah had a recent show on reincarnation. What do you think is this sort of upsurge of interest?
Juanita, I think it's part of a healing wave that's coming with a shift for our whole planet sometime around the year 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're waking up and realizing that we're the only country in the whole world who basically does not have reincarnation as a mainstream belief. Almost all other cultures everywhere believe in some form of reincarnation. And now the statistics are that 25% of all Christians do believe in reincarnation, including 10% of all born-again Christians. And we're seeing that that's not incompatible with Christianity, which is the major religion in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of seeing the broader picture because it heals deeper. And with all of the changes on our earth and my vision is that when there is a catastrophe like 9/11, sometimes not all of the spirits cross to the light right then.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some that didn't know what happened. And with that increase in numbers of people who die in a state of trauma, it's like our guardian angels are saying, hey, folks, we got to help them too. And here's a way to do it, a beautiful way to do it, to lighten the load in that realm of the in-between world.
That's a very, very good point. And with war and trauma, I mean, this seems to be a time right now where it is, this is high trauma. You just need to turn on your TV and you are in a state of trauma.
Right.
So I'm wondering how at the same time that we are feeling that on this planet, that there actually is a shift to go in and open up the heart. And why you think that we're seeing such a polarity happening with that? Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense that the greater the need, the greater the help when we call on it from the spiritual realm.
Mm.
I didn't really think up these things. It's something that Spirit revealed to me and Spirit guided me, and so I just want to give credit to my spiritual helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is my main spirit guide, and I'm just so grateful for the help that I get in this time of, I call it a change.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And I'm so grateful for the healing of my own personal past life trauma. It sets me free.
I think that's a great point to make, that it does set you free. And it's amazing when you do this kind of work that you do and the healing that comes from it, that you are just incredibly changed and for the positive. And it's unlimited what your life can be like.
Yes, yes.
So let's mention your websites, again, InvisibleRoots.com and SoulDetective.net. And so your both books, I think, can be purchased through both websites. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you are doing workshops at this time, Barbara?
Yes. My teaching schedule is on my SoulDetective.net. Actually, both books can be purchased through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
If you want a copy signed by the author, then you have to go to my Soul Detective website.
Okay.
There's a form there.
Okay, great. So, you know, our time is kind of wrapping up here, and I just feel so blessed to have had you on the program, and I thank you so much for coming on today. And I just want to open up the last minute or so here for you just to share any final thoughts that you have with our listeners.
Yes, there's something that I really wanted to say to people. When a loved one dies, they don't always realize what's happening. because you still have your ability to see and feel and hear when your spirit detaches from your body. And if people are on a lot of medication or in an accident or something, they just don't realize it. So when your loved ones, when their spirit leaves their body, when we say they die, just tell them out loud, you know, Mom, your spirit isn't in your body anymore. Or Dad, your spirit just left your body. Look for Grandma and Grandpa in the light. Actually tell them that out loud, because it helps people understand what's happening to them.
And they actually can hear, and they just don't have the physical body, but their presence is there, still intact.
Yes. They still have their emotional body and their mental body, their what's called the etheric body, where perception is. They can see and hear what's going on. And tell them that you love them, too.
Mm-hmm. Don't
because
be afraid.
That's what you can carry with you to the next world, all of the love that you have in your heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Barbara, for coming and sharing with us today.
Well, it's been a delight. Thank you, Juanita. And thank you to all of you listeners.
Oh, wonderful. You take care.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. All right, listeners, what a great interview. It's been psychotherapist Barbara Stone on the show today. Her latest book, Invisible Roots, How Healing Past Life Trauma Can Liberate Your Present, is available now, and you can purchase it through online booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, as mentioned, as well as through either of Barbara's websites, InvisibleRoots.com or SoulDetective.net. So thank you again for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.